Revelation chapter 15 today. I'm taking the title from what is said in verse 3. Verse 3. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. I like that, don't you? Great and marvelous. And they sing the song of Moses. Moses, a servant of God. And they sing the song of the Lamb. The same song. Glory to His name, salvation to the Lord. Sing, great. Oh, we sing, great and marvelous are the works, thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy way, thou King. Remember, He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ is described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is described as the Lamb of God that takes away our sin, but He's also called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty God who is God, our Savior, who cannot fail. Everything He does is absolutely effectual, absolutely successful. He is a God of all the earth. He is a God of all the earth. He created all things by the word of His power. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. God created all things by the word of His power. He rules and sustains all things by His sovereign will. And one day, He's coming back again to destroy this earth as we know it. And He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, He has how much power? He has all power in heaven and earth. He prayed that in John 17. He said, Father, You've given Me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given to Me. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So we see from those words that He has all power and that salvation is found in Him. He is the only true God, our Savior, and eternal life is in Him. Now, in chapter 15, we're introduced to these seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. You see that in verse 1. And then over in chapter 16, we're going to see the pouring out of those seven vials of God's wrath upon all people with the exception of those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the pouring out of the seven vials or bowls of God's just and holy wrath upon those who refuse to believe the gospel because they wear or identified with the mark of the beast. They worship His image of idolatry. They deserve nothing but the judgment of God, for they are sworn enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you take a stand against Him, and you're in big trouble. Remember what we studied in chapter 14, verse 9? That third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out, verse 10, verse chapter 14, poured out without a mixture of mercy into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of His holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest, night or day, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, who receive the mark of his name. Now, what does the beast represent and the image and that number of his name, 666? It's a religion of man. It's a religion of failure. That's what the number 6 means. Failure, failure upon failure. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the number 7. Completeness, perfectness in Christ Jesus. Now, much like the seven trumpets that we studied in chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11, and the seven vials of judgment that are poured out in chapter 16. This includes the entire gospel age from the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ until his second coming. We see these vials of wrath, trumpets of judgment poured out upon those who deserve nothing but the wrath of God. Now, something particular I want to point out to you, and I mentioned this last week, neither the trumpets of judgment nor the vials of wrath bring men to true gospel repentance. Now, I wrote this note to myself, and let me read it to you. The holy wrath of God, and I underscored this word, alone. The holy wrath of God alone will never change the sinner's heart, mind, or will. It will never make him a new creature. Only the goodness of the gospel of Christ is designed and purposed to make us new creatures in Christ, to draw us unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all of our salvation. You see, it's the goodness of God, the good news of the gospel, that calls us and leads us to repentance. It's not the wrath of God alone. Now, that's involved. We see something that our sin is due his wrath. But the wrath of God alone won't bring us to true gospel repentance. It's the gift of God. Salvation and grace and repentance is the gift of God. Now look, let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at chapter 16, verse 8. And I'll give you an example of this. Chapter 16, verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now that's pretty terrible, is it not? And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not. Now, if anything would drive a man to repentance instead of blaspheming God, read on, verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongue for pain, and they blasphemed God. That's evil speaking against God, the God of heaven, because of their pains and sores, and they repented not to give him the glory. You see, we do not use the fear of punishment nor the promise of reward to entice sinners to look to Christ. It's the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God must grant and give repentance to acknowledge the truth. In Romans chapter 2, I've read this to you before, but it says, the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering leads us and brings us to true repentance before God. You see, it's just not the wrath of God. You can preach all day about hell, fire, and brimstone, but that'll never reveal the gospel to a sinner. You see, it's the good news of Christ enduring the wrath of God for us that causes us to look to Christ for all our salvation. Now, having said that, let's take a look at verse 1. And I saw another sign or wonder in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them these vials of God's wrath, in these are filled up the vial, filled up with the wrath of God. The total holy wrath of God. Now the word sign here that's used in verse 1 of chapter 15 is the same word that we read about in chapter 12. Turn over there, verse 1. It's the word wonder. In chapter 12, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a great sign, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head were a crown of 12 stars. Now that woman there is a picture of the church, and that's a great wonder that God would be pleased to save sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. Another sign or wonder from heaven, great and marvelous. Everything God does is great. He is the great God. He is a marvelous God. These are great and marvelous miracles, wonders or signs. Everything connected with God is wonderful. marvelous. All his decrees of mercy and judgment are marvelous and great to see. They are wonderful. But what his name is, what's his name? His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Now, these seven angels are his holy messengers of judgment, servants of God, sent to execute the Lord's will, sent to execute the Lord's decree against all unrighteousness. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath upon the earth. And they have been doing that since the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. These seven angels have the seven last plagues, are the holy decrees of God that must be executed in the earth. They will be executed because God said, I've spoken it, I purposed it, I will bring it to pass. In these last plagues are filled up the just wrath of God against all sin. God's wrath is his holiness stirred into activity against sin. God is too holy to look upon sin with favor. Remember what we read over here in Revelation 14, verse 18 and 19. Turn over there, Revelation 14. And another angel came from out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. God's going to separate and gather out everything that opposed to his sovereign purpose in Christ. Now, chapter 15, verse 2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. A sea of glass mingled or mixed with fire. Fire usually indicates judgment, the fiery judgment of God. Our God is a consuming fire. And John also sees them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over idolatry, over his mark, over the number of his name, and they stand on the sea of glass. They stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, the sea of glass, which is before the throne of God, and they have harps. That is, they have a melody in their heart singing about the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another wonderful, great, and glorious, marvelous sight. We see the victorious, redeemed, the elect of God, the redeemed of God in glory, standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, look back at chapter 14, verse 1. They stand on the sea of glass because they stand in Christ. Revelation 14, verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. So they stand on this sea of glass, which is before the throne of God, and we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we stand in him, accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. Standing with Christ. Now, again, this sea of glass is a symbolic picture of salvation by the blood atonement of Christ. The blood atonement of Christ cleanses us from all our sin. The redemption of our sin by the blood of Christ, who cast our sins into the depths of the sea. And the Lord Jesus Christ bare the fiery wrath of God for our sin against us. That's why it's a sea of glass mingled with fire. The Lord Jesus Christ took all our sin, the guilt of it, and he took the wrath of God, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. And his blood cleanses us from all our sin. Now, these standing upon the sea of glass are God's elect, redeemed with the blood of Christ. These standing upon the sea of glass that's mingled with fire are victorious over every enemy of God, over the beast out of the sea, the beast out of the earth. You remember what they represent? The religion of men, false religion, over his mark, over his image, over his number, and over his name. They overcome by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They overcome. You remember, turn back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation 12, 11. They overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, who would accuse us day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation 12. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. Again, he said, turn to Revelation 17, verse 14. Revelation 17, verse 14. I told you we're going to turn and read a little bit. I think it'll help us to retain these things. Revelation 17, 14. These make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is their Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. That's the description of God's people, called, chosen, and faithful. And we overcome only by the blood of the Lamb. Our victory is always set forth by Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is the conquering King of kings and Lord of lords, who took the fire of God's wrath due our sin, laid upon him, and satisfied the wrath of God for us. Substitution and satisfaction. The standing with Christ, redeemed by his blood, saved by his grace, always give him all the honor and glory. They know who saved them from their sin. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They stand on a sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, what do we harp about? We don't harp about what we've done. We don't harp about how good we are. We harp about unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Where is that written? Turn back to chapter 1. I quote this verse all the time, but maybe we should turn and read it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. What do we harp about? We harp about all that he has done. His love, his grace, his redeeming blood. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, unto him who washed us from our sin in his own blood. It's unto him. We harp about him. We sing about him. And hath made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, who gets the honor and glory? What do we sing praises about? We sing praises unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, just as the children of Israel that day when they were redeemed by the power of God, by the will of God, by the mercy of God. They knew who delivered them. They knew God did it. They knew salvation was of the Lord. And they sing the song of Moses. What do we sing? We sing that same song. The song of the servant of God, Moses, and the song of the Lamb, same. The Lamb, same. What do we say? Great, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all your ways, thou King, King of all, King of all. Moses, the servant of the Lord, rejoiced to see the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the cause of his deliverance from the bondage of his sin. Our Lord said of Moses, what did Moses write about? Remember, our Lord said in John 5, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. You mean the first five books of the Bible? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All the writings of Moses are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. To him give all the prophets witness. Every believer can identify with Moses and the children of Israel when God delivered them, and can sing with Moses about the great and marvelous works of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord, is it not? It's of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this, I finished the work. He's prayed to the Father in John 17, I finished the work you gave me to do. And then when he's nailed upon Calvary's tree, you remember his last sayings? It is finished. He finished all of salvation for us. So we sing that song. You remember the words of it? Turn back to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I love this song. It's a song of the redeemed. It's a song of Moses. It's a song of the Lamb. Revelation 5 verse 9. Remember? They sing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign forever, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb, verse 12, that was slain to receive all power, honor, glory, and blessing, both now and forever. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb who redeemed us from all our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord God Almighty, who bought us with His own blood. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save. We studied that recently, didn't we? Isaiah 59. His hand is not shortened that He cannot redeem, that He cannot save. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to save sinners on purpose with His own redeeming blood. And He cannot fail. He's the Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all His ways. His ways of providence, His ways of salvation are just and true. Everything the Lord does for us in saving mercy magnifies His holy justice and His mercy, that He might be just and the justifier of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, Thou hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the work of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very, very deep. Just and true are all His ways. Because He's holy, His ways must be true to His character and must honor His holy justice. And that's what the gospel is all about. It's the good news of salvation in Christ. And He is the King. You see that in the last part of verse 3? He is King. Now, He is Lord. He's called King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, did we make Him King? Was this up for a Democratic vote? Is He Lord by some vote we cast? No, He is Lord and King by the everlasting decree of God. God said, I've set my King. He made Him King. He made Him Lord. God said in Psalm 2, I've set my King upon my holy hill Zion. Now bow to Him. Submit to Him. Submit to His way of salvation by the sovereign grace of God alone. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And He's the King of His people. He's made us saints. He made us kings and priests unto our God. But He's King of all the nation. You see that in the marginal reference? That word saints, nation, and ages. He's every man's King. He's every man's Lord. At one day, at one time, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, look at verse 4. Who shall not fear thee? And that word, their fear, has to do with worship. Who shall not worship thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are revealed. Now, when they're revealed, because our Redeemer, our blessed Redeemer, is the Holy God, we do fear Him, we do worship Him. Holy and reverent is His name. This here is a celebration of worship for Christ, who accomplished our salvation. All humanity will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, either as a trophy of His grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, or to a trophy of his justice to the praise of the glory of his justice. One way or the other, going to glorify his mercy or glorify his justice. But all things, the grand design of all things God does is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy judgments, all nations shall come and worship before thee. Well, I want to do it right now, don't you? To worship him, to believe him, is to honor him. And by his grace, that's what we desire in our heart. In our heart. Now, in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. John said, after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony was opened in heaven, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues full of the wrath of God, and these angels were clothed in pure white linen, because they are the servants of God, they have to be holy as God, having their breasts girded with the golden girdles, and that's symbolic of his everlasting eternal decrees. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. It's the wrath of God who liveth, he ever liveth, forever and ever he ever lives to intercede for us. He lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke, verse 8, from the glory of God and from his power. No man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. These messengers come from the throne of God, from the temple of the tabernacle of his testimony. The basis of judgment is always based upon the testimony of God, the word of God, the gospel of God. His law, his word, his testimony are true and righteous altogether. Altogether. These messengers of judgment, verse 6, have the seven last plagues full of the wrath of God to be poured out on all those outside of Christ. Our God is a consuming fire. In Christ there is salvation. Outside of Christ is nothing but judgment. 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 That's why Paul said, oh, that I might win Christ and be found in him. In him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, right? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? The wrath of God. The wrath of God abides on them. These angels are the messengers of God. They're clothed in pure white linen. They're holy messengers. They're girded with a golden girdle, protected by the holy decrees of God that cannot be altered, that cannot be changed. This also is a picture of true believers, how they stand before God. They have this pure white linen, which is a symbol of what? The righteousness we have in Christ. And we are girded about with God's glorious protective grace. His protective grace. Protected by the golden decrees of God. We have... We're told to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand with your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He's given us all things to defend ourselves. He's given us these golden girdles of protection. He's given us these white linen righteousness we have in Christ. Turn over here to Romans, Revelation 7. That'll work better. Revelation chapter 7. You remember over here in verse 13 says, one of the elders, Revelation 7, verse 13, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed with white robes, and whence came they? The same white linen. And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. there before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, verse 16. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's how we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed. Blessed. Now look at verse 7. Revelation 15, verse 7. And one of the four beasts. Now these four beasts, remember from chapter 6, verse 4, these four beasts here, these four living creatures, represent the ministers of the gospel. And they gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Now, I looked at that a long time. I looked at that a very long time. There is something here most mysterious and glorious that I cannot fully enter into. But here's what I know. Here's what I see. There's a connection between the four beasts and the seven angels full of the vials of the wrath of God. And here's what it is. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of truth. The gospel of the everlasting decrees of God. The everlasting gospel that reveals not only His mercy, but also His wrath. That's what they have in common. The four beasts and the seven angels all have the decrees of the Word of God that cannot be altered, that cannot be changed. Now, our Lord said this, he that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. It is the gospel of Christ that men will be judged by. All judgment is relative to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, you're either with me or against me. There is no middle ground. There is no neutral ground. Our Lord said, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Now in closing, look at verse 8. And the temple was filled with God's presence. The smoke is indication and symbolic of his presence. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. You remember when the tabernacle in the wilderness was completed, the glory of God descended upon it, and the smoke, it was filled with smoke, indicating God's presence. The same thing when the temple was completed, it was filled with smoke, indicating the presence of God dwelt there. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, from the glory of His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Although judgment will come according to the Word of God, the wrath of God will come upon this reprobate world. It will come. However, it will not fall upon those who are filled with the glory of God's power in Christ, the power of His presence. The smoke here is a symbol of His presence, like the cloud in the wilderness. There is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, believers are filled with His presence. We're called the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. But notice this saying here. No man was able to enter into that temple. No man apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. No man is going to enter into God's presence apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me. And the second thing I see is this. No man is going to assault the sovereign throne of God or harm His covenant people. Now let me show you that. Turn over to Revelation 21. Verse 27. Revelation 21, 27. No man's going to enter into that temple apart from Christ. And no man's going to enter into that temple and assault the people of God in Christ. Revelation 21:27, there shall no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We enter in as Christ enters in, and we enter in Him. Remember our Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. His glory, His grace, His love, His power, all the reasons of our eternal salvation. The seven last plagues will be executed, and the gospel of Christ shall endure because God lives forever and ever to see that all things are complete to His satisfaction. Now, that last word there, fulfilled. You see that? Fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled. All things must be accomplished to His ultimate glory and our eternal good. Remember, the risen Lord met with His apostles and He told them in Luke 24, all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the psalm concerning me. And then He opened their understanding. And again, our Lord said this in Matthew 5, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. He said, heaven and earth shall in no wise pass until all things be fulfilled. Not one jot or tittle will fail or fall from the word of the Lord till all things be fulfilled. The temple was filled with His presence from the glory of God, from the power of God. We are delivered by the power of God. And no man was able to enter into that temple, no man apart from Christ, until these seven plagues, seven angels of these seven plagues were fulfilled. God's purpose must be fulfilled. Must be fulfilled. Now, I want to turn to Romans. Have you turned to Romans 11? Turn there. I'm going to quit with this. Romans 11. Could you find it? Romans 11. Romans 11. 33. Verse 33, Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. Romans 11, 34. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. All things must be fulfilled. To whom be glory forever and ever. Remember, He liveth. What did we read over here? Who liveth forever and ever. To Him be glory forever. And I say what Paul says there, amen. Amen. So be it. So be it. Well, we got through it. Okay.